tell me about your philosophical views on life and on science in general.
Oh boy. I think career in science has been very rewarding one in terms of having work that you enjoy to do
and get paid for it.
Get paid reasonably well. I think that's one of the things that most people who've been in science and had a good career would say. It has its frustrations at being an industrial chemist, at least, in terms of freedom to do things.
You mean were things you wish you could have researched that DuPont would not let you research?
Well, you have, an industrial chemist has to, usually has to do something. He's got to be doing something for the company. He has to do his assignment as best he can. But in the kind of position that I had, you can do that, and then you can do, in fact, you're encouraged to do additional things that might lead to new programs. And that's being...
That certainly happened with you with the interfacial conversation. You discovered that. Whatever led you to that concept? I'm still curious, what were the two immiscible liquids you liked best of all?
Well, we weren't as safety conscious as we are today.
So what was your diamine in?
The diamine was in water. And
was that as a hydrochloride?
And the acid chloride was in carbon tetrachloride.
Now, was your diamine as a hydrochloride? Or was it just as a diamine?
No, it was as a free base.
As a free base. Did you rather work with the same hydroxide, or you rather work with the excess diamine to absorb the release of the hydrochloric acid?
We were using sodium hydroxide.
You preferred that to the excess of diamine. Oh.
We had already been stirring these systems as an emulsion. We're adding detergent thinking that it was necessary to get lots of surface. And
why is it better to use two immiscible solvents than to dump your diamine and your diacid into carbon tet or some other good solvent?
Oh, well, that doesn't work. You get a reaction, but the polymer precipitates so rapidly.
The polymer is
low polymer. It doesn't go to high polymer. This isn't universal truth, but it's true for that particular system.
Did you ever try it in a dry state with any solvent, the diamine and the dicarboxylic acid?
Yes.
What was wrong with that?
There are some systems, for example, tetraethyl chloride, which is a solid, and a diamine such as a piperazine, that you can grind together and they'll polymerize fairly well.
Now this is under heating, with some heating.
Well, either the force of the grinding gives you enough heat to start the reaction, then the heat's evolved and it keeps going.
This is with or without a catalyst? This is without a catalyst or with a catalyst?
This is without a catalyst. This is a very vigorous reaction. In fact, that's one of the reasons for using solvents is to moderate the reaction and absorb the heat.
Well, if you use the acid chlorides, how'd you get rid of the hydrochloric acid?
You get hydrochloric acid?
I'm talking about when you did the grinding then.
Well,
is it the heat evolved the
You may evolve some hydrogen chloride, but
you add a little water
also
there?
Will combine with the amine, and it'll make an amine salt.
So you add excess thiamine then?
And you have to add excess thiamine.
Yeah.
And the piperidine systems as a type that will work with 2 moles of diamine and 1 mole of acid chloride. Hexamethylene diamine won't do that. It's a rather peculiar, maybe almost a maybe a unique system where you can do this 2-to-1 ratio. Well, we were
you must have tried this with a lot of different combinations, and
we followed that.
And was this by your own ideas or just by assignment from your superior?
Well, the program was already the program of making polymers by combining acid chlorides and diamines was already started by Whitbacker. He was making polyurethanes, and the rest of us organic chemists in the group saw right away that, and he did too, that this could be applied to a lot of different polymer classes, and so we divided up the field into amides, esters, and urethanes, and sulfonamides, and so on. And I took on the mechanism aspect of the program.
Of the 3 or 4 different...
So we had a group working on different aspects. And so that's why I did this experiment.
What did you react your isocyanates with?
With diamines and
always a diamine and nothing else with an active hydrogen.
Well, eventually we did it with. Well, Whitbacker's work was with bisphosphonates and not isocyanates. Although we did do some work with isocyanates. Hexamethylene diamine and hexamethylene.
Now you did that in solution with the...
We did that in... We were doing it 2 phases, and later on we did it in solution. Yeah.
Could you...
Because you don't have to have a solve or a base.
With the urethanes, could you pull that out of the 2-phase system?
No, not very many of them.
Now I noticed most of your publications on 5-11. Why did you always choose 5? Why did you choose 5-11 so much for your publications, for your interfacial condensation?
5-11.
The 5-11 polyamide.
6-6 is what we.
It must be 6. No, I thought most.
So 6-10.
I'm sorry, 6-10, not 5-11. 6-10. I'm sorry. You're right. I don't know why I said 5-11. It's 6-10. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, why'd you choose 6-10? Is that the easiest to pull out of the?
That's an easier acid chloride to handle. It doesn't. It's easier to purify, and it doesn't deteriorate as rapidly. It's just easier to handle.
And that's a better for demonstrations to do.
It is better for demonstrations because the solution stands up longer.
Yeah.
There's no practical.
and they were always with the water and the carbon tetrachloride for your 2 phases.
Yeah,
so.
In the beginning, we investigated a lot of solvent.
Tell me this, Paul, when you did it for the elementary grades, what did this mean to the kids? Was it just a matter of magic to them?
It's mostly a matter of magic, but they.
How'd you give them comprehension with that?
We tried to tell them. What we were doing, we told them that the material that we were making was a nylon, and it was similar to regular nylon in its characteristics and these fundamental characteristics. And then we actually tried to explain to them what the formula was.
Did you put the formulas on the board for the kids?
Yes, we
even did that. Grades, you really don't know these.
I'm sure they didn't understand it.
If they know H2O, that's a lot for them.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Well, I had a little experiment that I also showed them, which had magnets in it, and that's one of those publications where you have a piece of balsa wood and two bar magnets with the two south poles pointing out, and then another one with the two north poles pointing out. So, and you make a whole bunch of these, and then you put them together, and they come out a chain. White, black, white, black. Uh-huh. And tell them these things react with each other, but not with themselves.
I suppose you had used the north-south, what would happen?
You use
repulsion instead of attraction for your chain.
You have an orientation, and you can mark them that way.
So it also worked with the attraction as well as repulsion, is what you're saying. But in your demonstration, you preferred the repulsion as against the attraction.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I made up. I drew a diagram of the other kind, but we didn't ever make the models for that.
Oh, I see.
but we had pop beads and things like that to try to give them the idea of following a chain.
Actually, most of your fame rests on the interfacial condensation, doesn't it?
A lot of it does.
Even though
some of it has to do since then with association with Kevlar and his high tenacity fibers.
Maybe you better tell the tape recorder what Kevlar is. Why don't you tell the tape recorder what Kevlar is?
Yes. Well, the Kevlar is an aromatic a fiber made from aromatic polyamide, which is very high tenacity and high modulus. And it's used in...
You use the terephthalamide?
It's a polyphenylene terephthalamide. Mm-hmm. And it's used in fibers for reinforcing plastics and rubber, such as rubber tires and hoses, and used in...
So it's not used in tires anymore like it used to be.
No, not to the extent that it's used mostly in reinforcing plastics.
When the styrene butadiene came out, it just couldn't meet the price. Kevlar.
No, it doesn't meet that price. It's quite a bit.
So Kevlar is, you think Kevlar is responsible for your fame as much as the interfacial compensation?
It's been the basis for some of the awards, or some combination of that.
Your first award, though, was the
first awards were innovation. Yeah.
And that was the Palmer Division's Palmer Award in 1976.
Right.
That's the year the ACS was 100 years old. So you were at the New York meeting.
Right.
Did you read the book, The ACS History?
Yes.
You have a copy of it?
Yes, I have a copy of it somewhere.
You're never better from cover to cover than that.
No, I don't think so.
Of course, I have many times.
That's right.
I wrote it.
Yeah, that's right. That would do it. Yeah.
How do you feel about the present-day chemist, present-day education for chemistry?
Well, I had first-hand experience with chemists for 10 years in the sense of working with them and sensing their education. But those that I trained a lot of chemists the last few years that I was working with the company. I was the person who broke them in and got them indoctrinated in polymer chemistry and weaned them away from organic,
was they
pure
beaten?
Organic or whatever they were.
Was they beaten?
One of the people you trained?
Who? Dave.
Egan. E-A-T-O-N.
No.
Because he ended up in the chlorine part of DuPont.
I think he's in Central Research, at least that's where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't have him. But I had a lot of others. And most of them were very well trained. Adapted very well.
They were very well trained in the mechanism part of chemistry.
Yeah. They didn't have, not very many of them had palma killers.
Well, you didn't either until you came to DuPont, really.
No.
Except for cellulosic.
That's right. Sure. That's not entirely necessary.
You know, still only about 20 colleges where you can learn palma chemistry in the United States out of several thousand. Does that concern you?
Well, I think from the palma point of view, it's important that, and the fact that such a large proportion of chemists do eventually work on polymers, that I think polymer chemistry ought to be part of the curriculum. And so that more schools should be teaching some polymer chemistry, at least basic chemistry.
The University of Delaware does not have a course in polymer chemistry today. They did when Betty Dower was still on the faculty. Since she retired, no more. That doesn't mean the professors don't work in polymer chemistry.
No,
but there is no course in it. You know, you can't do chemistry today without polymer chemistry.
No,
particularly not the analytical part of it.
Yeah.
Or the physical chemistry part.
Well, a chemist can't. You can't learn everything.
How many children have you had?
Two. We have a daughter and a son.
Are they chemists?
No.
What are they?
Well, his son is a phys ed teacher.
Wow.
And
opposite of his father. And your daughter?
The daughter, she went to the University of Delaware and studied art. But she's since gotten married and had three children.
So your grandfather three times over, huh?
Yeah.
Your son's not married?
No. He has been married, but he's divorced now.
Now
he has no children.
Does he net with the high school system or what? As a bit of, is he in college?
In high school and elementary school, yeah.
We're here in Westchester.
He's teaching now in the Concordville area. He has taught here in Westchester. Then he also taught in Florida. He was down there for a number of years.
So your son lives with you, well?
Yeah, he does.
Where's your daughter live?
She lives over in Willistown, not far away.
Aren't you lucky?
Yeah.
I have a daughter in the state of New York and the state of California.
A lot of traveling to do. Catch up with her.
Only one grandchild, though.
Yeah.
Well, where do you find your greatest satisfaction now since you've been retired?
Well, I'm doing a number of things. I've been consulting all this time.
Still with DuPont?
Mostly with DuPont. I've consulted with other companies as well. And
you had to get permission from DuPont before you consulted another company?
Not entirely. I do sometimes when the subject is close to their interest. Yeah.
If it's in the polyamides or the
polyesters. I purposely shy away from things like polyesters where I know too much of proprietary nature and couldn't comfortably consult there. But there are a lot of areas where you can still consult and not have a conflict. And then, I've worked for many years in Boy Scouts, and I'm still working with them. Chairman of a troop committee
in Westchester here.
In Westchester, yeah. And I collect antique tools, and I've been writing about that. I've been collecting them mostly for the purpose of writing. And so I do that, and I belong to a number of societies. travel to their conventions and so on.
How about the American Chemical Society?
And the American Chemical Society.
Are you going to New York?
Hmm?
Are you going to New York April 13th?
I'm writing some chemistry. I've involved two that I've listed. A couple of them there. I've got two reviews in Encyclopedia. And we've got another one on azo and the vines that's being revised, and it's going into macromolecule.
What sort of azo might vines you're talking about?
These are polymeric. They're aromatic polymers that...
give me a specific molecule for azo and the vine.
It's, phenylene, diamine, combined with, the methyl paraphenylene diamine combined with tithylaldehyde is our prime example. It's all aromatic rings with one methyl.
So the aldehyde reacts with the methyl group to give you your methine. That's what you mean by the
And
then the other end gives you the azo group.
Right.
Well,
it's an N double bond C. So we get that. And those are liquid crystalline, melt-forming liquid crystals. We've made very high tenacity fibers.
And DuPont's not interested in that, or are they?
We investigated it. It got scaled up quite large scale. We got a couple of patents on it. But they're not. No, they're not going to make it. We've made fibers stronger than Kevlar.
You're still not interested, huh?
Well, there are some other problems. There's a hydrolytic stability problem. And they're, of course, they're highly cold too. That doesn't really matter.
Or deformant tires.
No, that's right. Or reinforced plastics. So I'll probably be writing some more chemistry and some more tool articles.
Now, you actually have never been active in the American Chemical Society, the Delaware section or nationally, have you?
Not extremely active. I was chairman of the Palomar Dropful Group.
That's near the beginning of its formation,
That's right.
That was near the beginning when it was first
started. Yeah, that was the beginning.
First
few years, I guess.
Because it was way back to the late 50s.
Yeah, sure. And then I worked with you on nomenclature for a while.
That goes way back to 1950.
Well, later on, I was on the nomenclature committee with Bacallus. I was in the...
It's the National Science Foundation now, or no, National Academy of Science, I forget. I wrote me a letter there, 2 weeks ago. I can't remember where he is. Everybody says it, or NAS. I think it's National Academy of Science.
He's down there as a program coordinator or something.
That would be Anders with his program coordinator.
Yeah, I think he has charge of the rooms, especially in the polymer area.
Yeah.
And I've been on the awards committee for the AGBS.
Delaware Commission or the National?
For the National. And for the polymer division. And counselor for the polymer division.
But never counselor for the Delaware section.
But no. We've done that.
Well, that's too bad. I think we could have used your talents. Okay, I think we can call it quits on this. Say, I'll come back if this is still going. Yeah. Not much more to go. Well, is there anything we should have covered that I didn't cover? Is it too much chemistry in the book? The other interview is on your other part of your life, the chemical
well,
side.
Well, we talked a lot about beginnings and
how'd your wife keep busy? You were DuPont doing all your great experimenting at the Warmers.
She put up.
Well, how'd she keep busy? Was she involved in church work?
She was in the Brownie Scouts.
Because of your daughter, of course.
And she was in the Scouts with me. We put on tables for the scout leader, all kinds of stuff like that. She was in on that. She had a lot to do with raising kids.
Naturally.
But we traveled quite a lot.
And this is because she would travel with the company or because of.
I traveled more after I retired than I did before because I could do it on my own.
You mean the work at DuPont didn't force you? Do a lot of traveling?
Not very much. And once I retired, I could go to all kinds of meetings. I go to UPAC meetings. I was over Sweden and we teach you polymer chemistry for Ronby.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I talked in English. And they understand it very well. So we did that, and I went to Japan. You packed me to travel around there.
And how to be in English in Japan?
Chairman of a garden conference in 1924. I went to a garden conference for 3 years.
So you always saw Will Sperling there too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, Sperling used to come.
And I hope to put him on too.
Good.
Because he's. He was a real sailor's chemist.
Yes.
One of the best in the world. He was my first boss at Hercules.
I see. Well, it's no talk to you.
You haven't talked this much chemistry for years, have you?
Yeah, I guess I have, but I haven't talked to you. That's a thing in the book. I did this interview with Hounshell while there. That's got a fair amount of DuPont proprietary information in it.
That's it. Well, I tried to pull that, of course.
Yeah.
Now, actually, there's not much relationship between the two taping, whatever.
No. Other than the beginning, beginnings of why I got a chemistry different. Yeah.
If you had gotten into chemistry, what would you have been? A carpenter?
I would have been. I would probably be a mineralogist. Mining engineer.
So maybe if you go. Another college to be with you, might.
We would have done that.
Be a mineralogist today, or metallurgist, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a mechanical engineer.
Yes. And I've always been interested in mineralogy. In fact, I've given talks at the schools.
Do you have a good rich enough? You have a good
collection.
You have a collection of rocks that would demonstrate what the kind of rocks we have in Dole. I like do this sometimes. You know,
I think so. I have some Delaware rocks, and I a lot that would be typical. What would be in Delaware? Yeah. I just went down to the Delaware Bowl show that they had in Clayton.
Oh.
Last week.
As a participant?
No. I belong to a couple of real societies, and I do the Geology Merit Badge for the boys.
How about the chemist merit badge?
I do the chemist merit badge too, but not the scouts want to do that. I've done one textile fibers.
You mean it's a textile fiber? We're patching out there? Not when you and I were scouts.
No.
In fact, I don't think it was all geology then either, was it?
Well, it used to be the rocks. Rocks and minerals or something, but it was mining.
Mining, yeah.
Yeah. Bought that, and now it's called geology. That's rather different.
Since coal was a mineral.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. Well, if you have some need to talk like that, I'd be glad help you with it.
Yeah, I might involve you in Obrinkery School for bringing in the talking about geology.
Okay, I have
illustrating the stones.
A box set aside for fossils, because I've got fossils out of the Delaware.